Welcome to Spiritual Warfare Part 1, The Invisible War. There is a great war being waged in the world today. It is not a conflict between nations, tribes, or government leaders. It is not a rebellion or a coup. It is an important invisible battle taking place in the spirit world. The Bible states that God's people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You find that in Hosea 4:6. Now, one of the main areas in which believers are being defeated due to a lack of knowledge is in, you guessed it, spiritual warfare. Now, the early church viewed their spiritual experience in terms of warfare. Military terminology is used throughout the New Testament. Protection, it was seen in the armor of God. The word of God was compared to a sword. Satan's attacks, they were called fiery darts. Faith was the good fight, and believers were told to war a good warfare. So the early church knew they were engaged in an intense spiritual struggle. And so the same spiritual battle, it continues to this day. But instead of fighting the enemy, believers are often building great church buildings, producing musical dramas, holding fellowship meetings. And there's nothing wrong with fellowship meetings, but all they ever do is just meet and just, you know, they end up fighting one another while this great spiritual battle wages on around them. Now, Satan has even intensified his attacks against the church that has withdrawn from the front lines of battle. So as the end of time approaches, it is even more important for believers to understand spiritual warfare than in the early days of church history. Now, the Apostle Paul, and he warned in, in 2 Timothy 3:1, the Apostle Paul warned, he said, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." So in order to be properly prepared for these perilous times, a renewed emphasis must be placed on the strategies of spiritual warfare. You know, the Christian life is war. The sooner we recognize and prepare for it, the sooner we will experience victory. Now, Luke 14:31 says, "What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that come against him with 20,000. Now, no king, again, ever entered into a battle without a careful examination of his resources and development of the battle strategy. So in essence, that is what we are doing in this study. We are making a careful evaluation of the strategy, weapons, and power available to us to win the war against our enemy, Satan. Now, in the military world, strategy, the word strategy, is the science of forming and carrying out military operations. It is the method or plan which leads to the goal of victory. In this study, you will learn to formulate and carry out spiritual military strategy, which will bring victory in the spirit world. So, are you ready? The exposing of the enemy and his strategies is one of the greatest revelations of God's word. Even greater is the revelation that as believers, we have power over all the powers of the enemy, that's Satan. This teaching is by no means an exhaustive study of the subject of spiritual warfare, but it is an in-depth scriptural look as we look into natural spiritual warfare. And so I pray that as you enter the combat zone and begin to fight, you're going to fight the good fight of faith. So here we go. In the book, in the Bible, that is, it says in Ephesians 6:12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Again, as you have learned from the very beginning of this audio video here, There is a great war being waged in the world today. It is not a conflict between nations, tribes, government leaders. It is not a rebellion or a coup. It is an invisible battle taking place in the spirit world. Again, this teaching, it introduces the invisible war in which every believer is engaged. It is a war where no one wears a uniform, but where everyone is a target. Now, the historical and prophetical record of this war, it is contained in God's word, the Bible. So to understand this invisible war, you must understand the natural and the spiritual worlds, the natural and the spiritual realm, okay? Now, man exists in two worlds, the natural world and the spiritual world. The natural world is that which can be seen, felt, touched, heard, tasted. You know, it is visible. You know, the country, the nation, the city, or the village in which you live is part of the natural world. You are a resident in a natural kingdom located on one of the visible continents of the world. You can see the people who are a part of your environment. You can communicate with them. You can experience the sights, the sounds, and the smells around you. But there is another world in which you live, and that world is a spiritual world. You cannot see it with your physical eyes, but it is just as real as the natural world in which you live. And the Apostle Paul speaks of this division of natural and spirit in 1 Corinthians 15:40. He says there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, all people have a natural body, which lives in the natural world. But every man and woman is also a spiritual being with an eternal soul and a spirit. Now, man is body, soul, and spirit. Man and woman, they are, yes. But your spiritual being, soul, and spirit is a part of a spiritual world, just as your natural body is part of the natural world. Now, because spiritual warfare is just that, spiritual, it must be understood with a spiritual mind. And this is the word spiritual discernment where it comes into play. In our natural sinful state, we cannot understand spiritual things, meaning the unbeliever cannot understand spiritual warfare. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But the natural man," meaning the unbeliever, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Again, it is necessary to use spiritual discernment to understand spiritual things. And that is only going to come through a relationship with Jesus Christ, being reborn again. So perhaps one of the best examples of natural and spiritual discernment is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6. It records the story of a natural battle in which troops of the enemy nation Syria, they had surrounded a small town called Dothan, where the prophet Elisha was staying. Now, when Elisha's servant Gehazi, when he saw the great army of Syria, he was fearful. So Elisha prayed that God would open Gehazi's spiritual eyes so he could see the angelic hosts beyond the army of Syria that was surrounding and protecting them. So on this occasion, God opened the natural eyes of Gehazi and allowed Gehazi to visibly see the superior forces of God that were aligned for battle. Now, the story of this battle at Dothan is similar. It's very, you know, to the present spiritual conditions in the church today. You know, there are some in the church like Elisha. They clearly see into the realm of the spirit. They know there is a conflict occurring, and having identified the enemy and recognized the greater forces of God that assure victory, those are the people that God wants us to be. But there are others like Gehazi. You know, but with a little encouragement, they will be able to open their spiritual eyes and no longer be fearful of and defeated by the enemy. But sadly, there are many people who are like those in the city of Dothan. They are spiritually sleeping. They do not even know that the enemy has surrounded them and is poised for an attack. So within the natural and spiritual realms of which we are speaking, there exist separate kingdoms, which are ruled by natural and spiritual leaders. Again, there are two spiritual kingdoms. Two, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God, and they are ruled by leaders. Let's speak of the natural kingdom, okay? All men all men and women live in a natural kingdom of this world. They live in a city, a town, you know, whatever part of that nation is. The nation is a kingdom of this world. And a natural kingdom is a territory or people over which an actual king or political leader is the sovereign ruler. Now, the Bible speaks of these natural kingdoms as the kingdoms of the world. Now, the kingdoms of the world have come under the power and influence of Satan. In Matthew 4, 8 through 9, and the temptation of Christ, Satan, it says that, again, the devil took him, Jesus, that is, to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, if he said that to Christ, he is saying that to humanity. He has something to offer because he has a kingdom. Now, in John 5:19, it sadly reminds us that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. John 5:19. Again, now the spiritual kingdom, in addition to the natural kingdoms of this world, there are two spiritual kingdoms. Again, the kingdom of Satan and now the kingdom of God. And every person alive is a resident of one of these two kingdoms. Now, the kingdom of Satan consists of Satan, spiritual beings called demons, and all men and women who live in sin and rebel against the word of God. These, plus the world and the flesh, are the spiritual forces of evil at work in the world today. Now, the kingdom of God consists of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, spiritual beings called angels, and all men and women who live in righteous obedience to God's word. These are the spiritual forces of good. Now, the kingdom of God, it is not a denominational church. Denominations are man-made organizations of groups or churches. You know, they have been established for practical purposes of organization and administration. Now, denominations are major church organizations, you know, like the Baptist, the Assembly of God, the Foursquare Gospel, you know, Methodists, you know, et cetera. You know, the Bible speaks also of the true church, which is not a denomination or a religious organization. The true church is composed of all those who have become residents of the kingdom of God. They've come to Jesus Christ in repentance of sin, and they follow Jesus because he is their Lord and Savior. They are the true church. They are the body of Christ. So at the present time in the natural world, the kingdom of God exists individually within every believer, every man, woman, boy, or girl who has made Jesus king of their lives. And so it exists. That is the true church. And so wherever people make this world the kind of world God wants it to be, praise God. But in the future, there will be an actual visible manifestation of God's kingdom on the earth. It's coming soon, folks. Now, the invisible war. The invisible spiritual war is a battle which involves all men and women because the kingdom of Satan is a spiritual kingdom. Again, Ephesians 6:12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against powers, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual warfare is not a natural battle between flesh and blood. It is not between people, but it is not a battle of man against man. It is not a visible battle. It is an invisible struggle in the spirit world. It is a battle within and around people, man, woman. It is not a visible war because spirits are involved. And so we learn in Luke 24:39 that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Spiritual warfare happens, it's multidimensional, which means it is fought in different dimensions. And I'll name three. Number one, it is a social battle between the believer and the world. That's in John 15, 18 through 27. It's also, point number two, it's a personal battle between the flesh and the spirit. You find that in Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And number three, a supernatural battle. It is a supernatural battle between believers and evil spiritual powers. Again, Ephesians 6, 10 through 27. Now, every person alive is engaged in this battle, whether they realize it or not. There is no neutral ground. Unbelievers are in bondage to evil and have been taken captive by enemy, satanic enemy forces. They are the victims of war. Believers have been freed from the enemy through Jesus Christ, and they are victors, but they are still engaged in the war. Now, the key verse here, the key here, it indicates that we as believers, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, again, the kingdom of Satan, unseen powers, demonic forces, spiritual forces. Now, wrestling, it involves close personal contact. No one is exempt from this battle. No one can view it from a distance. You are in the midst of the conflict, whether you acknowledge it or not. If you believe it will get better, you're wrong. The Christian warfare never ceases. Now, where does this battle rage? This invisible war is being waged on earth. John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes to not, but only to kill, steal, and destroy. I come," says Jesus, "that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly." Amen. So Satan fights to maintain control of the kingdom of this world. He does not want them to come under God's authority. The battle also rages within the hearts and the minds and the souls of men and women. Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers and attacks believers in the areas of worship. He'll attack them in the area of worship. He'll attack them in the word, meaning their understanding of the Bible. He'll attack them in their daily walk, and he'll attack them in their work for God. Those who are in ministry, when you have been serving God and serving God and serving God, sometimes you get burned out. Well, that's Satan attacking you in your ministry. So that's where the battle rages. How does the battle get started? How the battle started? The beginning of this battle. The invisible war started in heaven with an angel named Lucifer, who was originally a beautiful angel created by God and was part of the kingdom of God. Now, Lucifer decided he wanted to take over God's kingdom. You can read about his rebellion in Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 17, and in Ezekiel 28, 12 through 19. Now, you will learn more about this in detail later on in this study. But a group of angels joined Lucifer, now called Satan. They joined him in this rebellion. Lucifer and the rebellious angels were cast out of heaven by God. They formed their own kingdom on earth. Revelation 12:7 says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Satan and the dragon fought and his angels. Revelation 12:9 says this, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Again, Lucifer became known as Satan, and the angels which followed him in rebellion, they became known as demons. Now, demon spirits can enter, torment, they can control, and they can use humans who belong to Satan's kingdom. They motivate evil acts, which are done by men and women. Satan directs his demons in their evil activities. And so he combines these powerful forces with the world and the flesh to war against all mankind. Now, the reasons behind the conflict. See, man was originally created in the image of God and for the glory of God. We find that in Genesis chapter 2. The invisible war against man started with the first temptation in the Garden of Eden. We find that in Genesis chapter 3. Satan caused Adam and Eve to sin. This resulted in all men inheriting the basic sin nature and committing individual acts of sin due to this nature. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." It also resulted in the invisible war between man and the forces of evil. Genesis 3:15, it says, God tells, he speaks to the woman and he speaks to the serpent, Satan. He says, "And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman," which is representative of mankind, "because I will put enmity between the seed and her seed. So that is the beginning of spiritual warfare, Genesis 3:15. Again, Christ would fulfill Genesis 3:15 on the cross, but that spiritual warfare still continues today with the people of God because we are of the seed of Jesus Christ. But look, because of sin, man was separated from God and condemned to death. But God loved man so much that he made a special plan to save him from his sin. Again, John 3:16 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So through belief in Jesus, confession of and repentance from sin, men and women can be released from the power of the enemy. The death and resurrection of Jesus not only resulted in salvation from sin, it also defeated the enemy, Satan. 1 John 3:8 says this, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But if Satan is defeated, why does the war still rage? Following any war, there will always be pockets of enemy resistance, rebellious troops that will not give up until forced to do so. So although Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, we are living in territory which is still occupied by enemy resistance forces. Understanding spiritual warfare strategies gives us the ability to deal with these evil powers. Satan is trying to keep men and women captive in sin. Through deceptive methods, he is enticing men and women to temporary lusts of sinful living. He aims for the affections of the soul and spirit, which rightfully belong to God. Again, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan still wants to be the supreme ruler. He is waging an intense battle for the heart, mind, and soul, and spirit of man. Now, his strategies are directed at God, at the plan of God, and at God's people. The battle will continue until the great final conflict, which you will learn about later in this study, comes to a conclusion. Now, the meaning of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the analysis of and an active participation in the invisible spiritual war. It includes study of the opposing forces of good and evil, the strategies of Satan, and spiritual strategies for overcoming the enemy. Now, spiritual warfare is more than just a mere analysis of spiritual principles. It includes active participation in warfare by application of these strategies in life and ministry. So understand this. One of the most effective strategies of Satan is to keep believers ignorant of his devices. Paul said it is important to know Satan's strategies. You find that in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We should know what the enemy is always doing. So we should learn all we can about Satan's strategies of attack. We must also understand the scriptural basis of victory over Satan and the forces of evil. You know, we are called to intelligent combat. Basic to the understanding of spiritual warfare is this key principle right here. It says, you must recognize that all battles of life, you know, whether they are physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, financial, or with human personalities, they are only outward manifestations of a spiritual cause. So, although in the natural world, problems may seem to occur, through the circumstances of life, you know, the basis of these natural battles is in the spirit world. So you remember Job in chapters 1 and 2, it confirms this principle. So we have tried to correct the evils of this world through education, legislation, and I don't mean we, I'm talking about the people of the world. They tried to correct the evils of this world through education, legislation, improved environment, but it has not worked. Because the visible evils of the world are the results of an underlying spiritual cause. They cannot be corrected by natural means. So to which kingdom do you belong? You see, in the natural world, a king is the sovereign ruler of a kingdom. All the territory and people in the kingdom belong to him. He has the power of life and death over his subjects. And the same is true in the spiritual world. You are either a part of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. Either God or Satan has power over your life. Now, one of the parables told by Jesus illustrates that all men are either part of the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God. Jesus compared the world to a field. The good seed in the field were the children of the kingdom of God, and the bad seed, which resulted in the growth of tares, weeds, that is, were children of the wicked one. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. You find that in Matthew 13:38. People enter the kingdom of Satan through natural birth. You see, the Bible teaches that all men are born in sin. This means that they have a basic sin nature, or the seed of sin within. Their natural inclination is to do evil. Again, I've spoken this before, but I'll tell you, you do not have to teach a baby to lie, to cheat, to be greedy. That's naturally within them. Psalm 51:5 says this, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans 5:12 says this, "Whereas for by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Because we are born with the basic sin nature, we have all at one time been part of the kingdom of Satan. And all who remain sinners remain part of the kingdom of Satan. Now, the whole message of God's written word, the Bible, is the appeal to humanity to move from this evil kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Men are born into the kingdom. Men and women, they are born into the kingdom of Satan through natural birth. But they must be reborn into the kingdom of God through a spiritual birth. Entrance to the kingdom of God is by new birth experience, explained in detail in John chapter 3. Now, there are only two divisions in this invisible war. Jesus said that he that is not with me is against me. That's in Luke 11:23. You cannot be neutral in this spiritual war. You are on one side or the other. Now, some believers, because of their fear of confrontation with the enemy, they try to ignore the war and they try and form a truce with the enemy. They think if they ignore Satan, he will not bother them. Now, this is one of Satan's main strategies. He tries to render members of God's army immobile by his terror tactics. But God says he has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. So there is no neutral in this war. You are either a victim or a victor. The spiritual, they are called to arms. They are called to go out. So are you on the side of good or of evil? Are you a part of Satan's kingdom or the kingdom of God? To which kingdom do you belong? Are you a victim or victor in the invisible war?